It is 8:58, and this is the Tuesday, February 7th, 2012 meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. Michael, can you call the roll, or are you still driving?
I'm still driving. Tracy Rosenberg is here. Michael Novick is here. Anthony Pest is here. Carolyn Burton is here, Nancy Sabarnatomi is here, Bob Rutter is here, Wesley is here, get it?
Somebody in D.C. is still hanging on.
Jane? Jane is still here, at least for the moment, okay.
Tracy from Berkeley is here. I don't think I heard you call me. Michael, maybe you did.
Sorry.
Is Anthony
here?
No, that's cool.
All right, and then we have Bill Crozier, work group volunteer, is here. All right, let's proceed then. That is our attendance. I sent out an agenda rather late. Did everyone have a chance to see it? Any questions about the agenda? Any changes to the agenda? Can we approve it as written, or does anyone want to make any amendments to it? Has everyone seen it? Should I read it out loud, or what is the...
I vote to just bow into it.
It's only being recorded and not streamed yet. Are we a little freer to speak about certain issues?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Can you speak up louder?
I think if it's only being recorded and not streamed, are we a little freer to speak about certain issues, or should we just stay within the confines of a public meeting?
No, we have to stay within the confines of a public meeting because the recording may at some point be posted as a public record. Mm-hmm. Do you have some question about the agenda? Does anyone have a question about the agenda? All right, hearing no objections, then we'll approve it as stated. Shall I read it aloud? Does everyone have a copy?
I have a copy.
All right, good enough. Thank you. Now, we have two sets of minutes that I sent out rather late, and they were rather long. Do we want to approve those as they stand, or... What's your
I got a couple of corrections on the draft that I sent out to the list, which I'm not sure if they got incorporated or not, so maybe we can wait on that.
You want to postpone approval of both sets, or? Do you want to postpone approval of both sets of minutes, Michael?
I can't recall if the corrections are both to the same one or one to each.
Well, since you don't have them and you're specific, I hate to do this, but maybe we should postpone approval until everyone has them in front of them and can read them and approve them carefully. What is your wish on those? Can we have a motion on that?
This is Jane. I can tell you that both of the corrections were to the December one. I had asked you to strike my comment because I didn't know what it meant. And I know that Nancy had a correction about the use of Eastern Standard Time, which I never knew that EST has used any time it's not Eastern Daylight.
Oh, okay.
In any case, yeah. So it would only be the we could approve the December ones with those two corrections if you wanted. So the November ones were sent out a while ago, and I don't think anybody posted any corrections to those. So I would move that we approve the November minutes.
I had what's called a Scrivener's error in, I think, the December set.
So I'm moving that we do November. Do you want to deal with that one?
November. Mm-hmm. Any objections to approving November?
Do They've been posted a few times to the group.
All right, hearing no objections then, we'll approve that. Now, the December, I had a Scrivener's error. The word sent, I think, was send was meant. I think the secretary meant send them to himself. And the word is spelled S-E-N-T, and I just corrected that. I had no other corrections to that. Anybody else have any corrections to that?
Yeah, the two that he was talking about. I sent him one, and Nancy sent him one, and he was going to correct those.
Okay.
It was just the use of Eastern, the direct...
Right, oh, yes.
...the time, and to strike my sentence from database and e-balloting work group, strike the whole quote from my me, because I don't, in fact, know about mailing. So can we approve it with those two corrections?
Does anybody else have any corrections to that or any complaints or problems? All right, hearing none, then those minutes are approved. That's good. We have two sets of minutes approved. That's fine. Thank you. We have attendance. I have it down twice. I don't know why I have attendance down on this agenda twice. Any requests for excused absences? Has anyone heard from anyone about why they won't be here? All right, I think we're going to have to not count this meeting as an official meeting simply because of the problems with notification. So perhaps we should assume that anyone who is not here will have a decent excuse because of the notification problems. If that's all right with everyone, I would like that to stand.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So if we do excuse people, do you think we can...
I'm sorry, we can what? I can hardly
hear. You're saying we shouldn't consider it an official meeting because of the notice problems, but if we confuse people?
That may be the case, yes. Let's do that, and anything we decide tonight we'll bring up to the next meeting for approval. Thank you. All right, so now the next item is the next meeting. If we stick to the first Tuesday in March. Oh, my goodness, this agenda really is screwed up.
Michael, was that what you were trying to say?
I was asking, since we do a quorum, and if we excuse people, they won't suffer from their absence, can we just consider it a meeting? Right,
Carolyn, he was suggesting the opposite, that we go ahead and recognize this as a regular meeting, and since we're going to be excusing the people... Let's just go ahead and consider a regular meeting.
Well, it will depend whether we have a quorum or not. Depends on how we interpret that last ruling from the PNB, and whether we accept more than one PNB director from each station as counting towards the quorum. That's one of those issues that has to be decided. I think we cannot decide that yet until we've settled that issue. So we either have 7 or 8 members.
This is Wesley here. May I speak?
Please, Wesley.
I believe that it has been decided. According to the ruling of our attorney, according to the defeat of Ken's motion that we had limited to only one delegate or, director. So I take exception to what you said. I think it is false and misleading. Thank you.
Tracy for the stack.
Tracy, go ahead, please.
I believe that there's already been a motion to reconsider, and actually the attorney's finding was that the issue was not clear in the bylaws whatsoever. So I think we would be well advised, as Carolyn says, to consider the issue undecided. And it'll be resolved by the end of the month or before. Until then, there's no resolution, as far as I'm concerned.
We'll just take very good notes, and we'll have to decide this afterwards. I think that the consensus is that we do have another round of this to go before we decide. But we'll proceed as if we're a legal meeting and take good notes and decide when we get to that point. Thank you. Now, the next meeting.
Well, I'm all deciding again.
Well, if you want to challenge the ruling of the chair and work on that, that would be all right. Or we can proceed and let the minutes stand as they are. Do you want to do that?
I'm good. Let's go.
All right. Next meeting, then, if we take a meeting for the first Tuesday in March, that would be March 6th. We have some new members who haven't shown up tonight, so that may not, every first Tuesday may not be convenient, but maybe we should at least do the next meeting in March. Is March 6th convenient for everyone on the call at the moment? For the next meeting? Any objections to that? All right, that's good. Let's leave it as it. Right now, there's Bill? Yes. Well, you want to, it's really difficult because the PNB hasn't even settled its next meeting, so, and the committee meetings aren't up yet, so I don't know when we're conflicting with what. What would you suggest as an interim meeting then for this committee? Or, I don't know if that work group was constituted to review proposals. I thought it was just to make up the RFP. I don't recall. Yeah, I think we do. Mm-hmm. Well, let's assume that we get at least one or two by the 10th. That may actually happen. So what would be convenient? Who would like to be on a committee that meets after the 10th? To look at whatever we have in hand. I suspect we're going to have to extend time from what I've been hearing. But I haven't gotten anything concrete, so I don't know what to say about that. What would you consider a good day? Thursdays, PNB seems to be leaning towards Thursdays, so the 16th is not good. Anybody have a suggestion? Well, should we wait until that date is settled and then do a poll of our committee to see who wants to be on the work group to review any proposals that we have in hand? Will that make sense?
Right now it's Carolyn, Jane, Bob. Who else?
I don't remember. You, Bill, Bob, I don't recall.
I'll be happy to read them.
Who's that, please, Nancy?
Nancy, KPFT.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're not sure when they're coming in, but reasonably.
Well, I haven't heard that they're not coming in by the 10th. Let me put it that way. No one's asked for an extension specifically. Michael, have you gotten any messages? Your name was a contact.
Yeah.
So,
no.
Nothing.
I didn't check today, but I haven't seen anything else. I did email you that. Although you asked them to send it to me, the your name is sort of stamped into the
mechanism of that email account so that if I send a reply, it still says it's you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to work on that. Yeah, tell me how to clear that up so it's a clear line.
Maybe you can just change it to the name of the committee or something instead of a personal name. I'm not sure.
Oh, really? Okay, that's my high-tech skills kicking in there. All right, I'll have to talk to you about how to correct that. All right, why don't we set a date tentatively? Frankly, the only nights that are really clear are Friday nights and Sunday evenings. Friday nights and Sunday evenings. And Sundays, 1 year we did very well with Sunday evenings because people were free. Sunday evening, perhaps if we get anything on the 10th, we could meet on the 12th or the 19th, that's a Sunday. Or we could meet on the Friday, which is the 17th or the 24th. Does that appeal to anyone or not? Who else wants to be on that committee? Any of those? Mm-hmm. Who else would do? Jane, what do you think?
Jane?
Yes. Are you still there?
She said she was going to leave early to finish up minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll have to do this by poll then, and perhaps we should wait and to see how many we get to convene five people to look at only two proposals if they come in. Your point is well taken, Bill. We do have to move ahead before the 1st, but I think maybe we should wait and see what happens by the 10th. My guess is that we'll get a request for a slight postponement. So... Well, is anyone else? All right, that does make sense. Is anyone else interested in meeting on Sunday the 12th? Maybe 5 p.m. Eastern or 6 or 7 or 8 Eastern? I couldn't do that, so that's Bill and myself. Anyone else? I'm sorry, who was that?
Yeah.
It's okay with you. All right, good. Michael, could you be available then? Anthony?
I have a meeting from 2 to 5 my time, so if it was after 8 Eastern time, I could...
Anthony here. I had to step away for a moment. Which this is a meeting date we're thinking about, next meeting?
Yes, we are.
This is a special work group meeting.
And which day is that?
Talking about Sunday, the 12th, and Michael is not available before 8 p.m. Eastern, which would be 5 your time. Is that possible for you?
I just don't like to do weekends.
I know, nobody does. It's the only time when everybody's free, but nobody wants to use it.
If they're coming in the 10th, then... probably we get it by email by the 11th. Then we have one day to read it. So maybe a little bit later. is that bad? We're supposed to.
Well, I'm afraid to do anything that week because of the PMB committees haven't set their schedule yet, and we're sure to be in conflict with somebody. Friday nights are free. That's the only night that's totally free, the 17th, but some people object to Fridays. Tracy, would you be available the 17th?
I'm not crazy about it. I'm going to have to say maybe at this point. I might be going out of town, and I just don't know. I mean, my preference for meetings would be that we stick to the, you know, the first Tuesday of the month as we were.
Even though it's so late.
Yeah, well, in this case, I guess we can't do it, but sort of, you know, for the ongoing meetings.
For ongoing
meetings. I'll try to make it on the 17th, but I feel a little unable to commit at this point, you know. Sorry.
We are talking about the work group, right, so?
Work group,
the RFP work group, yeah.
Yeah, but I know you want five people to commit, so I would have to say probably needs to be some, you know, five people besides me.
That would be good.
This is Bob. Yeah, I could do Friday the 17th.
Okay, that's good, Bob. Thank you.
I would do that over Sunday. This is Anthony.
You'd rather do that? Wonderful.
Friday.
Okay, Anthony. All right, that's good. Let's set that tentatively then, and hope and keep our fingers crossed that we actually have something to read by then. All right, that's good. So we'll make the work group on. Absolutely. Work group Friday the 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay. All right, that's good. And we'll set the next group meeting for the first Tuesday in March, which is the 6th. Next regular meeting. Any objections to that? All right, good. The next item.
Staff registry.
Oh dear, you know what I did? I copied stuff from the January meeting right into this agenda, and I didn't erase it. Okay. The RFP, all right, the staff register report. Let me be very brief about that. Otis says he has nothing done further, but it's next on his agenda, and by next week he will have something else to report. The missing piece was how to record the hours worked, as well as the kind of work done. And he was working on software for that. So that's the next piece there. And that's all I know about that. On the timetable, I'm looking. At that, I don't think there's anything else to do with the timetable except wait for it. I did write to Arlene and asked her if she would like more specific motions from us on those items, or whether that was not necessary, and I haven't heard from her. I just wrote to her today on that. So the question of the timetable is who is going to do what, and who's going to make sure that they actually do it. If you have any ideas on that, I'd be happy to hear them. I'm a little bit frustrated because we haven't gotten much feedback from GMs.
So, what do you need from the GM? List of names?
Well, we need to know that they have actually cleaned up the list. One of the issues was sometimes if members donate, and so their names end up on the donors list, and they end up getting a listener ballot as well as a staff ballot. That's a problem. We need to know that they have made sure that there are no gift people on there. That's an old item, but it still might exist. And also, I was pressing to find out if they had done anything about trying to collect email addresses from anyone.
Point of information.
Wesley, uh-huh, go ahead.
Yes. Would you please explain what a gift, the donations, the gift memberships?
That's an old issue. The bylaws propose that no one may, because under California code, we're not allowed to have gift memberships. You can't give somebody a membership as a gift because it's a membership organization. Under California law, members must sign with their own name and their own money. If they want to be members of a membership organization, which Pacifica is now. So some people were giving gifts to other people, and their names ended up in the database, and they got ballots, which is, technically speaking, illegal.
That they were at a separate address, though?
Well, they should send a check-in in their own money. And they should sign something saying that they intend to be members themselves. And that was never done. There was no follow-up on those names to see if they really wanted to be members, or somebody was just using their names to pad a list. We've had several experiences of that. People sending in lists of names saying, please, I'm giving these as a gift, you know, and then those names end up and they get ballots, and of course, the assumption is that they're not actually doing the voting. Somebody else is doing it for them. So it's a sticky issue. It's a small issue, but it's a sticky issue, and it can be easily checked. But I don't think anyone...
Thank you for that clarification.
...has ever moved to check that. So there are other people on the list who don't belong there. As I say, staff members who donated and inadvertently ended up with listener ballots because they made a donation during a pledge drive. And then do duping, making sure that duplicate ballots don't go out and people's addresses are updated and so on. So the GMs have to say that they've actually done all that. I don't think any of them, some of them have said they've done it, but I'm not sure what they've done because I haven't seen a specific...
I have another point of information.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
How about businesses? We have businesses that are members at KPFT, and I know that corporations are people. So is there anything on California bylaws concerning that?
Well, that's a good question. I'd never heard of that we have businesses as members. Is that possible?
Our general manager revealed it during a meeting, LSB meeting.
Well, that's an interesting question. We'll have to raise it and maybe send it to council or somebody who knows. That's curious. I never heard that. Thank you. Can you get a list or a number or something factual that we can pass on to council when we ask?
Well, I can only ask for it. I think Bill's been asking for information. He hasn't been able to pry out from the manager, if I'm not mistaken. However, I hate to speak for Bill, especially since he's right on the phone right now. But we'll see how cooperative he is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Thank you.
Shouldn't we check all the stations?
Absolutely, yes. Good question. Mm-hmm. Your manager actually stated that was the case. I don't know the California code enough, but I think our attorney should know it and look into it for us. So do you want me to put that forward?
Yeah, I think we should. My assumption is that they have to be like actual people, not corporate people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I just hope we don't have to take it to the Supreme Court.
I doubt it. I doubt that we have that many to make it a problem, but it's an issue. But anyway, your general manager actually said something that led you to believe that this is the case.
That is correct.
In fact, I
asked him again to clarify it.
Good. Thank you very much. Let me know what happened.
He had a real panic looked on his face, but he responded in the affirmative.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward. Thank you. That's one of those issues. So when I say, you know, clean up the list and do that sort of thing, that's what needs to be done. Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is This is Margie. I just wanted to let you know that I just got on the call. There was, I don't know what was going on before, but...
Hi, Margie.
There was some weird thing that where it wouldn't let me on. Anyway,
oh.
I'm here now.
Okay, good. Thank you. We're working down the agenda, which had some glitches in it, like duplicate entries.
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Just on that last point about the definition of members,
mm-hmm.
while we were talking, I just checked the web, and the bylaws uses the word, it says, listener sponsor member shall be any natural persons who blah, blah, blah. So then I looked up natural persons, and according to the legal dictionary at freedictionary.com, it says, natural person, a real human being as distinguished from a corporation, which is often treated at law as a fictitious person. So,
very,
just
very
an
good.
FYI.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, that's fine. That's clear enough.
Was that a pre-9/11 decision?
That's
well,
interesting. Yeah.
Our standards should be better than the government's.
That's for sure. Okay, well, we'll look into that and find out what you can, and maybe, you know, it would be nice if one director or member from each station took responsibility for the questions that go to the station. Wesley, I'll leave that to you at T. Is that good to sort out?
Mm-hmm. Wesley, Nancy, and Bill, we should all do.
Catch Margie up. We set the next meeting of this committee for the first Tuesday in March.
That
and we set up the meeting of the RFP work group for Friday the 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
The first Tuesday is the 6th, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. March starts on a Thursday. That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so I think what else do we need now? The membership campaign, I have to confess, Michael and I have not done anything on that at all. And I'm not sure where to take that. Michael, do you have any thoughts on that?
no, honestly. I'm looking at the agenda that I printed out. I haven't been on it. I'm not sure if I maybe there's a later version or something, but
I think I inadvertently printed out the old agenda.
Okay, what I have was a staff registry, questions to the close of RFP postings, report on contacts with vendors, reports on station progress, target date for reports, implementation reports for ED. And the new business, the work group for written answers for vendors.
Yeah, I'm trying to... okay, I'm trying to see. There it was. I printed out the wrong agenda, thank you. And my printer just ran out of ink, so I'm reading from a very small screen. You're right. The next item was staff registry. And, thank you, under old business. The item we didn't talk about was the close of the RFP postings. Now, I talked to, I thought that Jane at one point had said that she had asked Otis to close down the posting automatically on February 10th. Otis said he did no such thing for whatever reason. And so the posting is still up there, and it will be up there until we ask Otis to take it down. So I assume we're not ready to shut down that posting yet since we don't have any responses yet to our RFP. And leave that an open question.
If we leave it up, maybe the date should be changed on it. And didn't we say by the 10th?
Well, yes, that is a good question. If we leave it up, when should we extend it formally? By what, 5 days or 10? I know March 1st is our target date, but it doesn't look like we're going to make that.
Maybe until the 17th, that's a week.
All right, that sounds good to me. Anybody else? Anybody else have another date or an objection to the 17th? All right, I'll ask others to change the date to the 17th. And should we send out a formal notice for the RFPs or wait until people ask us for an extension? I think if we change it on the official website, that will be enough. What do you think?
Why don't we send a notice, at least to the people who already got it? We sent out the link, right, to a number of people.
Yes. Do you think we should notify them?
Letting them know there's additional time.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. What do you think we should do? Should we extend it or just wait until they ask?
I'm sorry. I was saying just resend it to the people that we sent the link to the first time, just indicating that there's additional time. It might
resend it. Mm-hmm. All right. Does that sound reasonable to everyone else? All right. We can do that then. Thank you. Is it possible for you to do that this week, Michael, or shall I?
I'm not sure everybody you sent it to, so if you could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Phil. Yes, we only heard from one person who said they did not intend to submit a proposal. So that's a good point. Thank you. I will do that.
This is Bob. I have a question. So
yes,
the deadline would be the 17th?
Unless someone objects.
Okay, but that's the same date as our working group is meeting to review the proposals, right? So then that doesn't make sense anymore.
Right. Well, I think that I suspect we may get one or two in by the 10th or shortly thereafter, but before the 17th. Why don't I wait until the 10th to send a notice out? And if we have nothing in hand by then maybe we should change the meeting for the 17th.
Well, I'm a little confused. Why would we wait? In other words, what's the reason? Why do we want to extend it all? Because we're afraid we're not going to get enough?
At the moment, we don't have any. That's
right.
Correct. That's, yeah.
But it seems like if we're going to extend, we should either do it tonight or not at all. I mean, I'm not sure that we should do it just because we don't get them at the last minute. Because it seems like it's going to take a while for whoever's doing it. It's going to take them a while, so just giving them a one-week extension may not fix that problem. Whereas if it's... Yeah,
Bill?
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah.
We could
That's
make
good
the
argument.
How about we make the deadline the 16th?
Make the deadline the 16th and keep our meeting tentatively for the 17th?
Uh-huh.
Well, that again goes to the objection of having only one day to read. I think that might be enough, though, at least for a preliminary meeting. I'm inclined to agree with that. Does that everyone agree with that? If I send out a notice tomorrow, the 8th, that the deadline has been extended to the 16th, and we keep our meeting the 17th, is that workable?
Yeah, I suppose.
Think that'll do? Okay. All right, I will do that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there any particular group that anyone in this, any of those companies that are out there that someone in this group would like to do? would like to have them do our election, like a Women's League of Voters, or I heard that was sort of favorable, but is there any particular group that we could sort of target and call and engage?
Well, some have already called us, and I meant to give a report on that. That was next on the agenda. And I don't know what it means that the others have not, whether they just don't care or they're busy or they have no questions. But I don't think there's any need for us to call them. Are you saying we should encourage them to turn in reports?
I would volunteer some of my time to call any group that anybody in this on this teleconference thinks is a good group to do our election.
Well, I thought we thought that all of the ones that we sent it to would be acceptable. I don't know what the purpose would be to call, except to some people might think that it was favoritism.
Oh, never mind.
I don't know. What do other people think? I'm just one opinion here.
I think the extension will be a sufficient reminder to all of them that, you know, that the request is out there and might encourage some of them, as Bill said, that, you know, if they thought the deadline was too short, now they realize they had an extra week that they might do it.
All right. I will put out a short note without any explanation that the deadline has been extended and see how far that gets us. All right, I'd like to move on to the next item then. The report on the contacts with vendors. I think, as I said, I haven't had a chance to write up my notes, but I got a call from Caleb Kleppner last week and eventually connected with him and John Seibel, the president of True Ballot, is it? And we got on the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. All right. Thank you. Well, they had some questions, which I tried to answer as best I could. And one or two others I will put out to the group of email, assuming that we all have confidentiality. But some of the questions that they asked were actually some of the questions that were in our minutes from the last meeting. And a couple of questions that we might want to ask to answer as a group in a statement. We might have a short statement, informational questions that people writing up a proposal would have. So I will make up a little list of those and send them around to the group and see how we want to answer those. They probably should be answered rather quickly. You know, they're pretty factual questions. Things like what to do, one of them certainly we can discuss here. The PIN numbers, the ballots are very specific, the bylaws rather, are very specific about where the PIN number has to go on the ballot. And then that was changed. One of the national supervisors, instead of putting it on the ballot, I think put it on the back of the ballot, and then at one point it was put on the envelope. This created problems up and down the line. No matter where it was, there was a problem with the location. So where the PIN numbers have to go in order to maintain confidentiality, but also to be useful and scannable in the final tally is a real question. So that has to be settled, and I think that's probably not going to be settled by this committee, but that is one issue. Another issue had to do with how much we're allowed to do with regard to curtailing the mailing of candidate statements. The bylaws say that they must be mailed out, I think, with the ballots, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't looked at the language. I don't have the bylaws in front of me. But one year, one national supervisor didn't want to mail them out at all. They have to go out. Then there's a question of if we do electronic balloting or not, what are our, how legal are we if we ask people to opt in? In other words, ask them to tell us if they want the candidate statements mailed to them in paper instead of looking at them online. or do we want to just tell them that they're available online and expect them to do that, or ask them before we do either, which they prefer, online or on paper. So those are several choices, and we have to decide, I think, it's a legal issue, not just a vendor issue. It will affect the final cost, and I think vendors are a little bit confused as to what they should prepare for that issue. So there's a couple of other questions like that, technical questions that will affect the final proposals.
And, where did these questions pop up, Carolyn?
Well, I got this call from, as I said, from one vendor.
Oh, okay.
And then I got a question, an email from another. A third vendor asked me for ballots, so I sent sample ballots that Bill kindly provided to everyone that we had been in contact with. But I do think we need to work up a little worksheet of answers to factual questions such as that and send them out to all of the prospective vendors, anyone who indicates an interest, so they all have the same information and can compute it accordingly, even if they don't think to ask it at this point. If we know the answers, we should send it out. So has anyone else talked to vendors? I know Tracy has talked to one. Has anyone else talked without naming who it is? Has anyone else talked to anyone? No contact. All right. Well, if there are any questions that come in, please funnel them and report them, and we'll just compile a little list. I'll send out a little list that we can look at if there are no other questions on that. The third item under old business, if I may, is the report on station progress, and that was looking for a target date for reports. And as I said, I've asked Arlene to let us know if we need to set timetables and motions and so on so the board can authorize that, or if she feels that she can go ahead and demand reports and so on from each station. And how to implement them is the other question, whether we need to have motions from the PNB or whether the ED can go ahead and do that. That's still an open question, and I'll certainly let you know if I get an answer to that. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Question, Bill? Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about reports from the general managers as to their progress in cleaning up the lists, and there's also the question of what the general managers are doing to promote the elections. We have a problem this year because there are national elections. But we had hoped that, if you recall, that the general managers would put out cards reminding listeners, you know, to sign up, to update their mailing addresses, to maybe even cards asking listeners to recommend people for the LSBs, to run for the LSBs, you know, generally sort of prepping people for the elections, and at the very least, cleaning up the mailing list, the data, you know, the staff, and we haven't heard anything that anybody has done anything completely yet. Little bits and pieces here and there. So my only question was, how much do we need to do in order to put some teeth into what the ED has to do? Anybody have any thoughts about that? Anybody know anything about your station that hasn't been reported yet to this committee? That's what I was afraid of. Nothing's been done. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bill. Mm-hmm. I did send out that list a few moons ago, and maybe that was too lengthy. Do you recall that list that I had sent out to Arlene? I think I sent it.
Mm-hmm.
We dealt with it in the committee, and I put it out. You're right, probably shorter is better. I'll revise something in a short bullet point for GMs who really don't quite get it. The problem is they're being overwhelmed now with preparations for the national elections and plus fund drives. It's going to be a little bit chaotic. We're going to have trouble getting our message out. So I think
maybe we could each take our own GM and drop them a note.
I think so. I think personal arm twisting is probably what it's going to take. As you talk to people at the station, you know, the GMs and the PDs, people responsible for this, anyone doing public relations, that would be a good idea to just keep reminding them that this is really important, that we need high-quality candidates for the LSBs with some, you know, professional skills and so on. That would be good. Thank you. All right. Yes, please.
Nancy? So we're supposed to ask the GM, Wesley and I are supposed to ask him for cleaned-up mailing list. And what are the other things?
Well, we had started on that, and I thought that the ED was going to, you know, take point on that and make sure that the general managers did that. It would be nice if everybody in every station, you and Wesley and Teresa, would somehow find out what the status was of the work and move it along a little bit if necessary, but I don't want to be in a position of badgering the GMs either. So I've asked Arlene to let us know what she thinks would be best. You know, does she need more motions from us? Does she need us to go directly to the GMs, at which point they will probably become a little annoyed? Or does she want to handle that herself? So let's wait and see what she has to say and recommends. If you keep an eye on it, yes, at the station, I think it's important that everybody know what's going on at your own station. That's probably very helpful.
Why are we so pussyfooting? I mean, can't we just ask the GMs at a board meeting or in front of witnesses, you know, recorded? I mean, they've had a lot of time, right? They've been asked for, they know this is a vital thing, the mailing list, right?
I think a board meeting is probably a very good place to ask that. I don't want to be in the position of micromanaging. You know, the GMs report to the ED. And if the ED tells them to do something, you know, it's probably it's a little dicey as to who then can interfere and remind them that they haven't done it. So I'm a little bit hesitant here, but I think you're right. An official public question would be entirely in order, I think. Yes.
Yeah, the GM here does a monthly report to the LSB and also an on-air report to the listeners. So.
That's true. That's true. That's good. Yeah, so official reports would be nice. Mm-hmm. Yes, Bill. Mm-hmm. That's true, and yeah, and I'm looking at W, and of course Revelyn isn't on tonight, and Thomas Porter is not here. Jane seems to have left. So yeah, maybe we do. Maybe we need to write something up generally, with the assumption that people in charge really don't understand what the possible issues could be. Bill, that's a good point. We don't have anything left over for another year on that, do we? Yeah, some outline of what needs to be done from the Elections Committee. Did that go out to anyone last year? Or? All right, as long as it hasn't been done already. All right, that sounds good. Thank you for that. Good point. So what I had asked for Arlene specifically was to give us, let us know if she wants us to set target dates for these reports or whether she wants to do that with the GMs. But we'll write up something general that gives them an idea of what the issues are. All right, then on new business, I had suggested a new work group for written answers to the vendors, and we already talked about that. There were 13 items in the December minutes, and some of them were questions about duplicate preferences, how to handle those, a mailing site, whether or not it could be in some place other than where the foundation had mailed things before. The average response rate, someone wanted to know that. I didn't know the answer to that. Who pays for return postage? The statistics about regarding preferential choices per ballot. I have no knowledge of that. And I haven't had time to comb through the reports from the supervisors to see if that's on there or not. One of us should do that.
Can you repeat what that question was?
What were the preferential choices per ballot? I don't know exactly what...
How many people marked more than one or...
Yeah. I don't know that there was a breakdown on that. If there is, I haven't seen it. And I wouldn't know where to begin to ask. But that was one of the questions. So there's some questions that we got from vendors and some questions we raised ourselves in the December meeting. That were listed in the minutes that we just approved tonight. So maybe we should think about trying to get answers for those, and any you can get answers to, if you funnel them to me, I'll put them together in a list, an informational sheet, I guess, for vendors. That might save them some time. Any other issues on that? I logged 20 minutes for it. I thought we would have time to do it, but it's almost 10 o'clock already.
Just on the question of looking for email addresses, KPFK now does a kind of email blast called KPFK Dispatch. And so I assume we've accumulated quite a few emails of people.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, I know WVAI does one, but they only have half of their members' email addresses. Their newsletter only goes out to half their members. Do you know what percentage of your members get this email blast? Okay.
I'm not sure. I can check the sales of the interim program director does a separate articles people might be interested in reading. He offers that as a premium in the fundraiser. So he's got quite a list. I don't know.
Well, I think it's one of the things we should do, maybe, is to give some boilerplate language to PDs and GMs to include in their next mailing or to put in their thank you notes that get stuffed in with premiums, asking people to please call us or email us with their email address and set up a separate email account just to collect those things. That might be very useful because I... 50%. That alarmed me. That's all we have at WBAI. I was hoping we would have more by this time. So can you think of another way to collect email addresses? Bill? It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. That may be the case, but I think if we had an email address set up and we put in a fundraiser letter. We do that too. We ask during pledge drives, but when it gets really, really busy, I know some people leave that part off. But it would be nice if we could send out, we have everybody's postal address, and somewhere we're going to do some mailing. We have to do the mailing to clean the list anyway, at least one. So in that mailing, we might, you know, put in either a self-addressed stamped envelope or ask people just to email us with their email address. It wouldn't cost them anything. And you're right, if we pitched it properly, as we would like to send you some information and we'll keep you updated if you give us your email address, that might work. Right. That's right. Right. Yes, that's good. That's a good point.
Yeah, in terms of the KPFK dispatch, there's a subscription button on the website. And you click it, you head to your email address and get subscribed to the dispatch.
Good, yeah. I like the idea of a poll, and I think that one legal mailing, there must be at least one to clean the list, to dedupe the list. That should go out as a poll plus a fundraiser plus a request for email addresses. And if it's done right, you know, people will feel they're doing the station a favor, and they'll be glad to do it.
This is Margie. I'm curious. I believe that at KPFA we only have about a quarter of our subscribers' email list. At least that's what I've been led to believe. And we are the general manager is currently sending out a twice monthly thing asking people, you know, by email and asking people to get others to sign up. I had suggested that we do an on-air thing and ask people to send us their email list, but I hear people saying that they don't think that's effective, and I just want to know, like, someone's had some experience of that, you know, why don't you think it would be effective to ask people on the air to give us their email addresses? Hello?
I have no experience with that.
Oh, I thought someone said that they thought it didn't work, and so I was afraid. Sure, I'd like to know why.
Can I get on with that?
Okay.
Michael on the stack.
Michael, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, I think that this relates to the issue we sort of didn't talk about of listener involvement and promoting membership. You know, I think that most media now are much more hit than we are about social media and interactivity. I think you know, every newspaper I know now has comments and blogging and stuff like that on their website.
Right, right.
So when you register, you enter your email address. And I think if our websites were more interactive and you know, there were polling on the air and then we announced the results of the poll, and just people had a sense that they were in, you know, we were engaging with our listeners and giving them a chance to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd get a response.
Okay.
That's a good point. Does any station, any of your stations, have a development director who is good with social media?
We have an interim development director. She's the one who is doing that KVFK dispatch.
Okay. That's good. Maybe we should pull what little it seems we know and see if we can't urge some of these tactics on every station and encourage people to do that sort of thing. The email address itself is iffy. You're absolutely right. People change them very frequently. So once you get it, you have to have some reason to update it every month, if only an email blast, and then deal with the bounces. You know, and at that point, you may have to get on the phone with addresses that bounce. But it's an ongoing task. It doesn't just happen once. So that's really an issue. Well, all right. Does someone want to summarize the action items before we leave?
I have a little question about what Michael said.
Mm-hmm.
Michael was suggesting a poll. Is it a poll of opinion, like how do you feel about the national authorization defense a bill that just passed, or do you agree with it? Is that what you were talking about, like a poll of opinions on topical issues to get the emails?
Mm-hmm.
We never
yeah.
do that, do we? I mean, that sounds good. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I was suggesting that, you know, for example, the websites could have places where people could, you know, put in their comments and everybody could see them. I mean, the LA Times does that. I don't see why KPFK can't. You know, people are every sports page has a blog, and the sports fans are putting up their stuff. And it seems to me that there's a lot of, you know, opinion. People listen to our station
mm-hmm.
and want to voice their opinions. And
mm-hmm.
so, when you register to do that on the website, you put in your email address, and you get, you know, you have it.
And I have a question. So when they give their opinion, then anybody can look at the website and see how the vote is.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I mean, We could use SurveyMonkey and stuff like that, but a lot of websites just do it on the website, and then you can see the results of the poll. Haven't you gotten those emails? You vote now because CNN is taking people's opinion on, some measure before Congress.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I never trust. I think they're lying.
I don't care. I'm just saying it's a technique of engagement with your audiences, and we need to learn how to do that a lot better than we do.
That's for sure. That's for sure. We could use a lot of help with that. And part of that is the timetable. Bill? Interesting. One of the things that we did at BAI, the very first election, was to send out a survey with the ballots. And at the end, we said, by the way, if you'd like to send back $5 to help pay for this election, we got the entire election paid for, and people sent back those surveys. And they were multiple choice, as you said. We didn't say five favorite programs, but of these categories, what kind of things would you like to have more of on our air? Music, art, talk, politics, etc. And list them, and that was very useful. So that kind of little survey is really very helpful, and it actually has a real effect. But as you say, the problem is finding somebody to do the work. Being in charge of the website and doing it, it's a tough job. I know Democracy Now! Was looking for somebody a few weeks ago, at least. And everybody needs, every station and every website needs one of those, somebody to maintain the website and keep those questions and surveys in order. That's going to be difficult. Well, maybe that's what we should be asking for among our friends. Anybody want to volunteer? We'll see. All right, people. I will. It's getting late, so I will make a list up of things that I see from my notes that we promised to do and get it out, so that Michael can include it in the action items when he does minutes. Anything else that we need to discuss tonight? Well, since nobody's there. Maybe we want to move to adjourn. I think that might be appropriate.
So move.
All right. Without objection. Good night, and talk to you soon.
Okay.